right. Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. You know, Sandy, man, I just, you know, the depth of the conversations that we have and the fact, Sandy, that we're willing to have, and as you stated last Wednesday, and we both know, this is what makes the nation what it is, the fact that we can talk like you and I are talking,
mm-hmm.
right? Without reprisal. Nobody's going to come in and kick the doors in and say, you know, these guys are anti-Americans.
Although Colin Kaepernick might
argue
about that a little bit.
Yeah. But
it's not the government.
No. And so the American people, so many of us kind of like have, you know, blinders on. And it takes some thought outside of our own personal lives to really think about our government, where it's going, what it's doing, and that there's a whole world that we're a part of, right? It's easy to say, like you say, exceptionalism, where Americans were exceptional, and many of us live inside of the American bubble. Like, we're the only people on the planet. Well, it's not going to fly anymore.
Yes, and when our American exceptionalism keeps us from doing a self-examination that maybe causes us to ignore some serious problems we have inside our country, it also causes us to ignore and to not understand what's going on in the rest of the world as it reacts to us. Because it is true in a way that when we sneeze, the rest of the world catches a cold. But the fact is that that much of what we do is much more than sneezing. It's an overt extension of this view of ourselves, of American exceptionalism, this view that we can basically tell the rest of the world what to do and how to do it because we are an exceptional influence. It's almost a godlike self-image.
You know, Sandy, how many times I've had people say to me, well, Earl, you know, if you don't like it, you should leave. You don't know how many times I've had people say to me, well, if our country is such a bad place, why are people from all over the world trying to get in here? And I said, I never said that it was such a bad place. And I understand. I wouldn't want, nowhere else in the world I'd rather live.
America, love it or leave it. You and I were, you know, when I was in college, that was a refrain for the people who wanted to question the
Vietnam War. Right.
And it became the same refrain during the Iraq War. You know, you have to toe the line, apparently. You can't question our foreign policy. And yet our foreign policy has such a huge impact on us individually inside our domestic economy because of, you know, if we're going to spend $1 trillion a year on defense, on our cost of the military environment that we have, then we need to understand what it is we can't spend money on, because the fact is we all have to understand the United States government cannot simply print money for the purpose of carrying out its military expenditures. It comes from a pot of money that is finite. Some of that money does get printed. Some of it gets raised in taxes, but it's a finite amount of money. And if we spend $1 trillion on defense, we are not going to be able to spend money on child education, on education generally, on child daycare, on health care, things that really matter. And, you know, the rest of the world, the developed countries, have squared this circle, and they've figured out that...
Yeah, they cut back on the NATO allies.
Yeah.
The thing Trump was saying to them is, hey, you got to increase your spending. They made conscious decisions decades ago. We only have a finite amount of money. We're going to spend it not all on military defense. And they cut back.
Well, and we would assert that it's because we were providing them with the nuclear umbrella. We were. But we wanted it that way. We didn't want the European countries to be heavily armed and able to fight with one another. That's the way the contagion of war started, World War I and World War II. But No. The fact is that a lot of what we spend money on now is just the tension of Cold War that we fanned. We fanned it so that it was always the embers were red. They weren't flaming, but they were always red enough to justify the huge expenditure. And it's just an unrealistic. We are spending money planning for the ability to carry out military.
Activities,
military activities, three fronts of warfare. Why? What is the American interest? If we go to war over Taiwan, we'd have to ask ourselves very carefully, why did we do that? And because it will, doing the same thing for Taiwan that we're doing for Ukraine against a country like China will have immense costs associated with it, collateral and direct.
So, you know, when you hear that we want to be able to battle on three fronts, what the American people should be asking is, why?
Why?
Why would you? And then don't say to me that people hate us because of our freedoms. That's not an acceptable answer for what it is you're asking of the American people to make sacrifices for, right? I mean, you're asking the American people to sacrifice the futures of their families. In essence, that's what you are. And you're supposed to say, well, we're doing that because. The next question should be, because of what?
Yes, and you know, the notion that that, for instance, America's freedoms directly would be affected, or that European freedoms were. The European alliance, standing alone, is actually a very powerful entity. It has all the potential power of the United States. It's a huge economy, and it's a huge and highly developed population base. You know, the notion that there's going to be something like a Pearl Harbor to affect the United States. The only reason during the Cold War that Russia would have ever sent missiles to the United States is because they believed we had pushed the button and were already sending missiles to Russia. They were not going to take America out with a missile attack if they didn't fear that America had the impulse to do that first.
You know, Sandy, I would say, to those in the listening audience, you know, we've got to open our eyes. We've got to be vigilant, even during all these elections, and not get caught up in my enemy is a person who is a fellow American, and so what's in the best interest of this nation should be what's in the best interest of us all. And I don't know why that is such a difficult proposition, Sandy, for people to understand.
I think it's because we've allowed guns and our defense budget and several of these other issues to be third rails about which there can be no lively political discussion or debate. And the most troublesome one, I mean, guns are exceedingly troublesome, but really the most troublesome one is this question of defense and foreign policy, because until we see what's happening in something like Ukraine, it's hard to realize the huge and significant importance what we do with our defense budget has until we have a debate or an analysis about child daycare. And we realize that the reason we can't spend money on these things is because we're spending so much money on our defense. That's the stuff that ought to wake America up and ought to get us to talk about all these issues.
All right, we got to go. I want to thank everybody who made the show go. Sandy, thank you as always. Sam, thank you. Thanks to the listeners. Thanks to the callers. I'll be back on Monday. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later. Oh,